As we come before the Lord this morning, this passage can be misconstrued by many, and so I think we need God's help with this. So let's just pray. Lord, we come before you this morning as we have a look at this great passage on marriage, on husbands and wives, and on you and your church. And we ask, Lord, that you would just open it up to us and help us to understand it. Give us open minds and hearts, Lord, that we might not bring our own prejudices into this passage, but that we would learn from you. And we ask this in your name. Amen. As a minister, I have opportunities on occasions to chat with married couples. Often, it is a couple who are going through a really difficult period of time. Perhaps their relationship has broken down. And they're sitting in my office, and they're both accusing each other of things that the other one has done. On many occasions, the wife will say to me, "My husband treats me like a doormat, with no respect." And the husband will say, "But my wife never listens to me. She never does anything that I tell her to. She does not submit to me." And so the story continues. In Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6, Paul speaks here about relationships that we have, not only with husband and wife, but as you will see in chapter 6, children and parents, and in the second little verse 5 of chapter 6, slaves and masters, or employees and employers. Paul wants us to understand what it means to be a Christian within various relationships that we find ourselves in. Many Christians are married. So how should a husband and wife treat one another within the marriage? And this is what Paul picks up here in the tail end of chapter 5. Now remember that Paul is writing to a group of Christians in Ephesus. He's been explaining to them what we have in Christ Jesus. You remember in chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, he says that we have been given every spiritual blessing in Christ. So we've been given everything that we need in this life in order to live for Christ. Paul then continues in chapters 2 and 3 to explain that we are united in Christ because we are saved in the same way. So whatever race we are, whatever background we have, however old or young we might be, we are united in Christ because we've all accepted the same salvation that Jesus has done for us. And as a result of that, Paul says, therefore, we should all be united with one another. Paul then picks up on this in a little bit more detail and tries to explain things from a practical means. What does it mean then to be united to one another? Well, chapter 4 and 5 and 6 is the practical outworking of what Christ has done for us. And as I've mentioned, today we're looking at chapter 5, verse 22, the relationships between husband and wife in a Christian environment. Now remember that Paul has highlighted for us in verses 19 to 21 saying that we must be careful how we live, not as unwise, but as wise. And he finishes off that last section of chapter 5, verse 21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now I want to chat this morning, I'm going to get to the husband and wife issues that are dealt with in this passage, but I think before that, what does it mean to submit to one another? And so my first comment this morning is submission. You see, when Paul says submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, what do you think of when you hear words like that? Perhaps you think submit? Never. I'm never going to submit to that guy. They're arrogant. They're big-headed. Whatever it might be. You see, because our understanding of the word submit has been skewed with some very horrible meanings. When we talk of submission, we often think of oppression. We think of weakness. We think of surrender, of giving in. And that's how most people view submission today. So when we read here, wives, submit to your husbands, ladies, you go, never, I'm not going to submit to my husband because I'm not weak. I'm not going to be oppressed by him. But friends, that's not what Paul means here when he says we must submit to one another in love. He says that we should do it out of love for Christ, that we should look for the purpose or the of other people. He says that we should not think of submission as being oppression or surrender or weakness, but we should think of submission in terms of what Christ did for us. How Christ submitted to God's rule and died on the cross for us. I don't know if you noticed as we read through this whole passage that although Paul is talking about husbands and wives and our relationship with husbands and wives, all through it, he's speaking about, actually, this is just but an example of what Christ has done for us and how Christ submitted to God and how the church has submitted to Christ. You see, Paul's been describing for us here in Ephesians what this new humanity in Christ is all about. Remember, the title of our whole series is A Whole New Society, God's Ultimate Society. A society that is perfect, that has everything going for it. And here he says, this is what it means to be part of this society. It's not an inferior thing to submit to somebody, as the world likes to think, but it's an example of Jesus and the church. Just look back, chapter 1 and verse 22. Submitting to Jesus means accepting that God is in charge. So chapter 1 verse 22 says, God placed all things under his feet and appointed him, that is Jesus, to be head over everything for the church. So submitting means understanding that God is in control. Chapter 2 verse 20. He says that Christians are nothing without Christ. Verse 20 of chapter 2, he says, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. And in him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. Submission means not only acknowledging that God is in control, but acknowledging that Jesus is the foundation of our very being. In chapter 3 and verse 19, submission also means holiness. That you may be full to the measure of the fullness of God. You see, submission is not cowering in fear. It is knowing who is in charge and submitting to their authority, understanding their rule, living for them as they want us to. It is also comprehending God's love. So in chapter 5 verse 1, Paul says, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. You see, friends, ultimately, submission is about copying what Jesus did. So when we submit to one another out of love for Christ, we are saying, I know that Jesus is my King. I'm going to live for him, even if it costs me my life. Because as Jesus submitted to God, it cost him his life. Friends, that's what submission means in this context. It means it's worked out in our Christian lives as we live in holiness, goodness, in truth, as we sing praise and live in godly fear or awe of the Lord Jesus. From the Bible's point of view, submission has nothing to do with oppression or limitations. Now, perhaps one other thing that I need to mention before we get into chatting about wives and husbands is that I do just need to say, going back to Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, that all people are made in dignity and in equality. So while there might be different roles, we are all the same in God's eyes. Just think for a moment at perhaps a working environment. You are all perhaps in an office situation or even in a factory situation. All the workers are paid pretty much the same rate. They are all equal in the CEO's eyes. They are the artisans. They do the work. Yet each artisan has a different function to perform. So one works on this specific machine and he knows how to do everything on that machine, while another artisan can work with stuff that artisan cannot work. Yet, in the CEO's eyes, they are all equal. They're all just artisans. And the Bible tells us that as male and female, we are all equal. We all have the same dignity. Yet, we have two different functions that we are to pick up on within our relationships. So that's about submission. Now let's get on to the wife's duty. Verse 22 to 24. Notice those three verses there. Three short verses that Paul speaks to about wives. And the command with two reasons. The command is in verse 22. Have a look at it. Wives, submit. In the original Greek, that's written in the command way. And he says, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. See, I can just see some of you ladies sinking into your chairs, planning their argument against what Paul tells us here as why wives should submit to their husbands. But look what Paul says. He says, for the husband, verse 23, is the head of the wife as, notice this, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so wives should submit to their husbands in everything. See what Paul is saying here? Submission of wives to husbands is not something that you have to do because your husband has demanded it. It is something, ladies, that you are to do to your husband because it is an example of how Christ loves the church, or how the church submits to Christ. Paul's first reason that he gives the wives is that they should submit to their husbands because that is how God has made things. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18 says, the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. In the original creation of the world, man was given a helper. This implies, as Paul says here, that the husband is the head of the wife. So reason one, that the wife should submit to the husband, is because that is the way God planned it in creation. So when the wife submits to her husband, she is in fact, and here's a key point, when the wife submits to her husband, she is acknowledging that God has given her and her husband different roles within the marriage. She's acknowledging that God has put order in this world and that the husband is head over her. Now, for those ladies who are unmarried, this does not mean that you need to submit to every male figure. Not at all. This is very specifically husbands and wives. But it's important to understand this, that when the wife submits to the husband, that she is in fact not submitting to the husband per se, but submitting to God, because that is what God has instructed of her. So, in the opposite to that, if the wife does not submit to the husband, then the wife is saying, I don't agree with the way that God has made this world. I don't agree that my husband is head over me. I'm going to do my own thing. And ladies, with all due respect, that's sometimes the reason why things happen the way they do, is because we do not acknowledge the order that God has placed in this world. But ladies, the second reason that Paul gives here as to why a wife should submit to a husband is given in verse 24. Because it is the example of how the church submit to Christ. And so because the church submit to Christ, we do not function on our own rights. We cannot make up what we want to say from the front. We cannot do what we want because we are subject to what the Lord Jesus has done for us. In fact, we only exist because of what Jesus has done for us. So as a church, we should submit to Christ. And as the wife submits to her husband, she is acknowledging and showing as an example of what Christ has done for the church. Ladies, have you ever thought of submission in terms of being a witness? Because that's what I understand by this passage in chapter 5. As you submit to your husband, you become a witness to your husband that this is how God has made things, this is how Christ has dealt with things, and so I become an example to the husband and a witness to my husband. You ever thought of it like that? Perhaps it gives a whole new understanding, a whole new meaning to what it means to submit. You see, do we honor God as we submit to Him? And yes, I know this is talking about wives in this particular context, but Paul says this has got a way bigger context than just wives and husbands. We are also to submit, all of us, husbands and wives, married, single, divorced, everybody. We are to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. So you could perhaps look at marriages and say, like that wife is submitting to the husband, so I must submit to Christ. Now with those thoughts in mind, perhaps as you sit here this morning, you are not married. Perhaps, ladies, you might be thinking of getting married. Perhaps some of the teenagers. Maybe you're looking for Mr. Right. Well, ask yourself this question. Will you be able to honor God? In other words, will you be able to submit to your husband or not? Because if your answer is no, then ladies, is he Mr. Right? If you cannot honor God by submitting to the man that you think is Mr. Right, then he can't be Mr. Right. Perhaps, ladies, there's some of you here who are still married, but you are not married to a Christian husband. Perhaps you blew in the face from trying to share the gospel with him, from trying to point out in the Bible that he must be saved. Are you then, as a Christian lady, supposed to submit to your husband? He's not a Christian? Well, I would say the answer is both yes and no.
Yes, you are to submit
to your husband. Why?
Because it is an example to your husband of how God created things, and it is a witness to your husband that of what Jesus has done for the church. If your husband wants you to submit to something that goes against God's law, then I would say, then you do not submit. That's why I say it's yes and no. You submit to your husband in the normal day-to-day things, however mundane or irritating those might be, because they will point to Christ. Your submission points to what Christ has done in the church. And as you pray for him, as you submit to him, God will work in his heart. And hopefully God will turn him to himself. Well, Paul now changes tack. Perhaps the guys have been sitting in their seats with these smug little smiles, nudging your wife in the ribs and saying, you see, you have to submit to me. Perhaps he's saying, yeah, Dion, preach it. Well, guys, now it's your turn. And Paul spares no punches here. In fact, you will notice that Paul spends the remainder of the chapter talking to us guys. Three verses on the ladies, submit. The next nine verses to us guys. So I think, guys, we need to be more worried than the ladies. This is my third comment this morning, the husband's responsibility. Three verses spoken to the ladies, three times that number spoken to us as guys. Verse 25, look what Paul says. Husbands, love your wives. Now that might seem like an obvious command to love our wives. That is why we married them in the first place. In fact, you might say that you show your love to your wife often. Well, here's the catch. In fact, Paul says here that showing our love to our wives is way more than just the sexual act. Showing love to our wives, as Paul says, as he continues in verse 25, and notice this again, just as Christ loved the church. We ought to love our wives, guys, as Christ loved the church. So, let's ask the question, how did Christ love the church? Well, verse 25, Paul tells us that he gave himself up for her to make her holy, to cleanse her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. How did Jesus love the church? Well, he willingly gave of his own life on the cross. Christ died and rose again. He made the church holy. He washed the church through the forgiveness of sin, so that she might be presented holy and blameless to God himself. It cost Christ his life. So love for us husbands is not just about the sexual act of love. It's not just about telling our wives that we love them. It's about helping our wives to achieve their full potential. It's about us giving up our lives, if need be, for them. John Stott mentions in his commentary on Ephesians, and he says, the husband should never use leadership to crush, stifle, or frustrate his wife. His love for her should lead him to exactly the opposite. He will give himself for her in order that she may develop her full potential under God and so become more completely herself. Isn't that just what Jesus did for all of us? He died so that we might be given the full potential as God intended for each one of us, as He meant in the original creation. That's what Paul's been speaking about here in Ephesians 1, where he says, because of what Christ has done for us, all of us have been given every spiritual blessing in Christ. And Paul is saying, guys, we are to love our wives in the same way that Christ loved the church. Now, guys, if you're anything like me, I think we all have a long way to go on that, on loving our wives like Christ loved the church. Because often, isn't it, we want our own thing. The rugby's on. Oh, honey, won't you fetch me this? Won't you do that? Oh, man, I forgot to do that. Sweetheart, won't you please go and... Instead, we should be saying, I know the rugby's on, but my wife needs my help. Let me rather go and help her. To use one example. Do you see, all of us need that help. All of us need to understand how Christ suffered and gave His life for us. And guys, that's how we need to love our wives. Paul continues, verse 28. He says, in the same way, that is, in the same way that Christ has loved the church, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does for the church. For we are members of his body. See, guys, loving our wives also means caring for them. Are we helping our wives to reach their full potential for Christ? Or do we demand submission without love? According to Paul, if we as guys want our wives to submit to us as we desire, then we need to love them as Christ loves the church. I've chatted with a number of happily married couples, and you ask the wife, why is it that you are willing to submit to your husband? And the wife will tell me, it's because my husband loves me and cares for me and has my best interests at heart. So when he asks me to do something, I know that it's with my best interests. So I happily submit to him. Guys, if you want your wives to submit to you, love them as Christ loved the church. You see, Paul, what he does here is he's using a normal relationship, husbands and wives, to point us to the fact of what Christ has done for us, all of us. In fact, a happily married couple becomes a mirror to the world of what Christ has done for his church. Now, how profound is that? I don't think many of us think of our marriages as a mirror to the world, on pointing, on showing the world of how Christ has dealt with us. But friends, that's what Paul is saying. So friends, do we model our marriages on this model of Christ? Do we submit to Christ as a wife should submit to her husband? Do we love our wives as Christ loves the church? Now again, there's some here, guys, who are single. This means that when we look, if you're looking to marry, if you're looking for someone to marry, can you see how important it is that we look for someone that is also submitted to Christ? Because if they are not going to submit to Christ, do you think they're going to submit to us? It means as we look for a wife, we need to ask ourselves the question, am I willing to love my wife even up to the point of giving my life? Because if I'm not, then she's not worth marrying. That's why we speak strongly of not marrying somebody who's not a Christian. Because marriage is an example, a witness of what Christ has done with the church. And so Paul tells us, as he finishes off this chapter, he says, verse 32, this is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. Christ gave his life. The church submits to Christ. And so, in submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ, we do so within our marriage. And he finishes off this chapter by saying, however, it's more than just an example of what Christ has done for us. This is reality. And he says, each of you must also love his wife as himself, and the wife must respect her husband. So although our duty is to honor God in our marriages, it mustn't become so dry and formalized that we actually love and mustn't become so dry and formalized that we forget to actually love and respect one another. Wives, what does it mean to submit to your husband? Husbands, what does it mean for you to love your wives? In both cases, it should mean how Christ has dealt with us and how we as the church submit to Christ. Can you see why Paul says in verse 21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ? We need lots of help in this, because it's not going to happen without conflict. We guys are not perfect at loving our wives like Christ loved us. We are selfish on more occasions than we probably like to admit. Wives, you probably don't submit to your husbands as often as you want to. Again, because we are selfish. So all of us, and even those who are unmarried, we need to take note of this, that like a good marriage, we should submit to Christ. If you're looking for someone to marry, can you submit to them? Can you love them? Or are you only chasing after something else? Friends, let's be reminded what Christ has done for us. And let's allow even our marriages to be mirrors of what Christ has done for us. For the church. Well, let's pray. Lord, we do come before you this morning. We thank you for this great passage. Although perhaps it's made some of us squirm in our seats as we acknowledge that we haven't submitted to our husbands like we should, as we acknowledge that we haven't loved our wives like we should. Perhaps, Lord, there are deeper issues here, that we haven't submitted to you like we should, and that we haven't looked at what you have done for us. Lord, help us, strengthen us, not only in our marriage relationships, but in our other relationships as well, that all of them might reflect your love for us, and might point people towards you. And we ask this in your name. Amen.